Well, good morning. Man, feel like it's been a while. With opening that third campus and doing some of our rotation with our mission, vision, values, it's just part of the process. I had somebody ask, well, where's Pastor David? Well, he's also in that rotation. In a primary, it's been myself, Pastor David, and Pastor Lane that have taken on the major rotations in it, and then we've got others. And so by the time Pastor David got to Arlington and Abilene, and he has Sunday off because he had a daughter get married yesterday. So, So he is, he's had a lot of schedule and probably is, I guess he's at home kicking back. Well, I don't know, he probably should be, but I'm sure that he's needing some R&R after all that. But it is good to be here. God is so good. I appreciate, Hector and just, man, I felt like that Wayne and I, we walked by, I was like, that was prophetic. That was like on. And so what he didn't know coming into this Sunday is that finally got a email from the architect the end of this last week that they are either have or are submitting this week the finished plans to the city of San Angelo for permitting for the next phase for that'll include the end. Oh yeah, come on. But it's setting everything up for the sanctuary. We're not there yet, but all that indoor playground, the new expansion for bathrooms and some other additional classrooms. We're going to build out a junior high band hall so that they'll have that space, and that'll free up room 200 because we got people fighting over it. Oh, I know. Surely church people don't fight, but anyway. Christians are all, yeah, but anyway, love and war. But anyway, it's like Hector said, when we first got this building, I'm walking through here, and I had Pastor Olin with me, and I'm just going, and we're gonna put a gymnasium over here, and we're gonna do this over here, and we're gonna have this big kitchen, and he all of a sudden just grabs me by the arm and he spins me around, and I thought I was in trouble. And he looks at me, he said, you do know that is not normal. And I said, what? He's like, how do you see all that? Come on, the eye of faith. And you know what? God has blessed us. And don't ever, ever take that for granted. Don't ever think otherwise. It has been incredible what God has given to us and put into our hands to flow through to be a blessing. Amen. And these facilities continue to be used. We work them hard. There are areas that run 7 days a week. So anyway, but that's, again, why not? I think sometimes a great waste of money for a lot of churches is build a multi-millions of dollars of building and then it's used maybe once or twice a week. So anyway, just saying, but we're gonna work them, and let's continue to do that together, but just be in prayer with what we've got, moving forward in that. And we've got some of our business guys. I had one businessman years ago that just told me, said, please don't ever take away the building fund giving spot, in our giving. You can do that, he said it's like with every new project that you start, and he said, I give towards it. He said, my business just goes to another level. And so I just believe in for that to continue. There is something in that. It's interesting that we would talk about all of this in months in the rotation and how we were rotating and all part of our values, because remember, we've gone through our mission, vision, and with that, again, it's about people, right? People matter. People matter to God. People matter to us. You matter, right? And it's about connecting people with God's purpose, because it's about the purpose of God, and you being able to connect to that and understand that and really allow that to be the destiny. Because remember, destiny is not a destination. Destiny is a journey. And it's about you really tying in your life to that and staying on life's journey to fulfill kingdom business and do everything that God has for you to do, because your life is significant. You matter. You were born for such a time as this. You are gifted with the talents and the gifts that you have, your influence and where God has placed you. Don't ever take any of those things for granted. Remember, in the Hebrew, there is no word for the word coincidence. It's by divine design. God has put these things into motion in our lives and for our lives. And so we want to embrace that. And man, I agree. I believe that God has some things, so much more for many, many of you. And you've thought too little of yourself. You get God inside minded. You start seeing the unseen. You start listening to His voice and what He says. And God's going to take you to places that you never thought possible. But in our core values, today is about living generously. Living a lifestyle of generosity. So let's pray as we get started this morning. Father God, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for our time together. And Lord, just again, as the Life Church and part of our core values and for today's message, Lord, and for those of us that are gathered here today, as well as those by live stream, and also those that will come back and listen to it or watch it online. Father, I pray just the anointing and the power of your Holy Spirit to move through this message and Spirit of God, that you would truly impart to us the scripture, the word of the living God, and that by that word that faith would be produced, and God, there would be corresponding action, Father, that our lives would align to it. And Father, we just open our hearts to receive from you. Cause me to speak as an oracle of God with your heart of love and compassion. And Father, with prophetic utterance. And Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for this today. Move and minister to each of us. And Lord, we just give you praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Let's read from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to just get our text in and really read this, and then we'll set a course kind of where we're going in this. But it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 6, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. And it'll just give a really good explanation to the original. It says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Amen? Isn't that good? Now, see, for most of us, we should get this because, you know, the Bible does liken to money as a seed, you know, and that it has that relationship. And out in West Texas, you just drive out in the area where there's farming going on, and you if you'll pay attention, you'll look, and how many realize if you're driving past a ranch, they got a fence to keep the cows in. If you're driving past a farm, there ain't no fence. Why? Because that tractor's coming all the way out, as we say in West Tech, to the bar ditch. I said that in Arlington last week, and I had to give interpretation to what a bar ditch was. In West Texas, we know what a bar ditch is. And you know, and so that I've looked at some of those farmhouses when you drive by, and it's like they've plowed as close to the house as they can get. Why? They're trying to get as much field planted as possible. They know that the more seed they can get in the ground,
the greater potential of the increased harvest that they could have. They get it. Farmers understand this. And we need to understand as well that in this, our lives, it's about seed time and harvest time. And that life resembles that. And we know that in Genesis chapter 8, it says that as long as the earth remains, there shall not cease to be seed time and harvest time. And so it's a principle, it's a theme throughout the Word of God. And we know from the beginning of time, even Genesis, the way it lays out and it gives such detail, sometimes you've got to pay attention that God is speaking, God is saying things that's beyond that. When it's talking about, and it goes through and it lists so many different things, and it talks about every seed producing after its kind. And so, you know, we get it. I mean, for the most part, not everywhere, but for most of the time, if you smile at someone, guess what comes back? A smile. Come on, y'all are getting too quiet. Come on, loosen up a little bit. I'm not going to take another offering. That's not where we're headed. We don't use the pressure tactics. Amen? You know, I mean, we believe the scripture. I've never done that. Some of these elders that have been around a long time, you know, back, goodness gracious, that was 2 years after I was here, they felt like that we needed to go on television and do a television ministry. And I told the elders, I said, under one major condition, that you will never force me to get on that TV program and beg for money. If we don't have the money to stay on the air and we can't help finance this and make this part of our mission, I said, shut it down. And we did a few offerings, but in that, it was all about missions. It was about money with a mission and just flow through. We never tried to pressure people that were watching the television program to give money so we could stay on the air. We weren't into having a television ministry. We were into having a outflow of the Word of God to build people's lives. Amen? And now we've shifted from that so much as online and internet and YouTube and all the other platforms and stuff that is beyond my pay grade. We got other folks that handle all that stuff that get it, right? Come on, how many of you got to have your kid or grandkid to set the TV up, you know? It just comes with it as you get older. Technology, it's amazing, you know, what has happened and the advancements. But, you know, when I was thinking about this and going through this I'm grateful, you know, when I got born again, I got saved in my bedroom. So I was a mess and radically transformed. And it's amazing that when Jesus became Lord of my life and I was born of his spirit, that immediately, I guess I'd lived so selfishly for myself. And once I encountered Christ, And there was real change that took place, it freed me and opened my eyes to needs around me that I didn't pay attention to. I never saw before. And I just began to give what I had. I began to just try to help others and serve others. It took me months to find my way into a local church. But during that time frame, that was something that God had already put on the inside of me, and I just began to automatically do that. I get into church. I hear about, you know, the truths of Scripture, and we're going to cover some different things, and I just begin to implement those things in my life. Joanne and I, we got married, and early on in our marriage, we just began to implement certain things that concerning giving and living generous, and I'll never forget. I'm going to tell some stories, and in these stories, believe me, they're not to brag on us. They're really to brag on God, because God, he did this, right? And we were just really trying to plug into him and his heart and really live our lives to please him. And early on, we were living in a mobile home. Come on, how many of you understand that? And this was an old mobile home. Now, I'd, you know, raised up in construction and all, so it's a fixer-upper. Come on, how many of you with me? I'm talking it breathed more. I could have probably put us in a pretty nice, you know, apartment or house somewhere just from the electric bill, because this sucker, I mean, everything breathed. That was more air probably coming in than what it was able to heat up or cool. And in that old house, I mean, we, you know, it wasn't much, but it was ours. And as early newlyweds, Joanne's mom's going to upgrade furniture, and so she blesses us with her living room furniture, really nice stuff, you know? And so now we're in this old mobile home with this really nice living room furniture. And all of a sudden the church is raising money to build a Bible school down in Mexico, a Bible trade school. And they're going to do a yard sale. Come on. What do you do when givers sometimes get? Guess what happens? They give. And so we donated it to the church. We're sitting on beanbags. This is just, it's part of our journey. You know, I as a pastor, as a leader, I've never wanted to be a pointer. I've never wanted to be just that guy that is just teaching you Bible truths that are still true, but that I haven't tried to implement and work into my own life. I want to live it. I want to lead in that. So I'm not looking to ask you to do anything that we haven't done before. And we've just lived this way. We've just lived to give. We have just purposed to do that. Some of you, you may not understood, you know, a few weeks back, you know, the church for my birthday, you know, and Pastor's Appreciation, they gave me that gift card, and I didn't know what was in it, but some of you, you know, I've started to walk off, and I came back, and I'm like, and this is mine. For those of you that don't know, I've had to do that at times, because she'll give it away. And it's not always been that way. Listen. He give you a little bit of background. Come on, we'll do a little marriage counseling while we're along the way here. I don't know about that either. But anyway, just you know, sometimes it's two cultures that get married, right? It's not just people. You know, I was raised in my parents' construction company, and I mean, there was times when if the business was doing well, I mean, we were spending money. I mean, we were going, doing stuff and buying stuff. And if it was bad, we were eating beans and rice. Come on. I mean, it was just, you know, that was kind of the lifestyle, you know, and free spirit. And just, you know, my dad was a giver. He just, I could see that about him, you know, and heard people tell me stories about him that he never said, he never talked about. And so there was a culture somewhat in that, but very free-spirited, you know what I mean? You know, sometimes hand them out. Joanne, on the other hand, her dad, 30 years Air Force, then went to work for the Postal Service, post office, then retired from the post office. I mean, I remember working my tail off, you know, working 60-plus hours a week, and he still made more money than I did, and he was retired. When I went and asked her dad for her hand in marriage, you know what his question to me was? Do you have insurance? I wasn't prepared for that question. I'm like, you're not going to be an idiot. You're going to love her. No, do you have insurance? Joanne, with this stable, very secure, you know, constant kind of environment, you know, and culture. To me, It's here today. It may be gone tomorrow, but we're going, you know. And somehow we've come together. And the amazing thing is that I've learned to be better about being a steward and understanding what stewardship, yes, giving, but stewarding. And Joanne has become so much more just a giver. But ultimately, we have been blessed. Now, have we done it flippantly? No. We've applied certain principles, certain things. One of the things that we've tried to do is live below our standard of living so that we would have more to give more. Because listen, how are you going to be generous and really provide and be a blessing to somebody else if you can't take care of your own bills? Delayed gratification. I went till I was, when I turned 50, I finally bought my first brand new vehicle right off of Jim Bass Ford parking lot. But I waited till I was 50 years old. I always bought used. Like, let somebody else pay that depreciation off that dude. you just, so there's things. Joanne, on her last vehicle, she accelerated, paid it off, and then once she paid it off, she never stopped making a payment into a special savings account preparing for the next vehicle. There are ways, there are things to do so that your life is about being able to get positioned to where you can be more generous. And listen, we could have used and spent a whole lot of money on us. But that's just not what our life has been about. Our life is about the mission of God. Now, we have been extremely blessed through our lives. I mean, there is just nothing lacking. It is amazing, the provisions of God and the things. When we went to Lockhart, I was the youth pastor, and that was in 1993 when we decided to move to Lockhart, Texas, little town of about 12,000 at that time, little bedding town down below Austin. And fortunately, we had done some things that positioned ourselves so we were able to sell off our house and different things. And we were able to go debt-free. We were able to go down there and have money and resources because they were about to start paying me per month what I made in a week. Oh, yeah. It's called ministry. And so we go down there and God just blessed us. It's amazing the provision of God, and sometimes just living the adventure of getting out in faith and obeying God. We felt like God told us to do it, and we did it. And we watched God in so many ways miraculously provide and do just so many things beyond what I could ever do. You know, it's almost like that we can either put ourselves in a place to where it's like, okay, are you going to be the master and do the providing, or are you going to release and hold with open hands what God's placed in your life and let Him do the providing? And sometimes He has to move some things out of your life to get the other things into your life. I used to, as a youth pastor, I used to do this all the time with young people. And it wasn't about money, but I used money as a just an object lesson. And I'd put some coins in my hand. I loved being able to put some different ones in there. And I liked even taking an old foreign coin that wasn't worth anything and sticking it in the mix, you know, with some other small coins, dimes, nickels, you know, and pennies. And I would take a silver dollar and I'd say, if this represents the things in your life that God's entrusted to you. And with young people, I'd say, and that girlfriend or that boo-boo, that boy. Come on. Talking to youth, right? Maybe talking to some of you right now. And I said, and if you close your hand, now you have what you have. But if you'll leave your hand open before God, there may be two things that he wants to do. He may want to take something out of your hand that's occupying space that is of no value to you. And he may want to bring about something of great value and put it in your life. But if we go around with a closed hand before God, we've closed God out. But if we'll live our lives with an open hand, it's amazing what God can do with a life with an open hand. So let me give you some truths, some principles in this. And our church has done things outside the box. Some churches have done bake sales and car washes, and we've done all those too. But I'll never forget when we were building the other building that was over there on the loop. We did a stewardship campaign and had a business guy, home builder, and he showed up and he was like, "Hey, I got an idea. Let's build houses and we'll sell them, and all the proceeds will go into the building fund. We'll pay for that building." Like, okay. Well, I was like, "Is that legal?" We're a church, right? He's like, "Yeah, we just got to pay tax on it." And so we've done that. You know, we have a daycare. We got 170 kids in here now. And we're licensed for a lot more. And we're blessed to be able to care for kids, instill something of ministry in their lives. And these parents were able to, with the pre-K part of that, be academic and be able to prepare those kids for kindergarten and still receive finances. So it's on our mission and it's part of what we do, and yet there's monies that come in to be able to help us do the other ministry. All of those kinds of things. This church has been into that. We have done that. Lease property. We do things outside the box that maybe a lot of churches don't. But I believe God for that, to be able to take some of those business principles and some of that. I think there's an anointing. We've just done this. And I've watched others get attracted to that. I appreciate so much, again, what Hector shared. Wow, I felt like that's so on. You know, God has raised up others with tremendous resources in this church that didn't have anything. And they started coming. They started hearing the word. They started connecting with maybe other business guys. They got in it. And I'm amazed at what God has done in raising others up. And I'm just believing for more of that. Because I know that there's so many of you that you work for someone and you have a certain income and it may seem limiting and seem, but listen, a guy like Hector can speak into every bit of that because he's traveled that road. Whew. Let's look at a few of these. The first type of giving, I believe, is about systematic giving. We want to be systematic. Something happens with consistency. That's why I believe in the tithe. I believe in the tithe. I believe it from Malachi chapter 3 when the word talks about the tithe. But if you go back before the law, some say, "Well, it's in the law." No, it was before the law. It was there before. It was Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant. You see him operating in that. I believe it actually goes from the beginning of time in the garden. God always had, he said, "You can eat of any of these trees, but not that one." He's always had something that he's called his. And when you get into the New Testament, under the ministry of Jesus, Matthew 23:23, even though he was bringing correction to the Pharisees and said, "You tithe, you give, but you have forsaken the greater weightier things of the things of God in love and justice and mercy." But he said, you need to do them both. He didn't say, this is done away with. You only need to do. No, he said, you need to do them both. He didn't say, stop giving. And something happens in consistency. Just giving regular. Listen, you'll just see it in investing. If you have a mutual fund and you're doing something consistent, it'll blow your mind over a course of years of what that will turn into, rather than, once in a while, I'll put a little over there. It just works that way. And it'll work. We've seen it as church leaders. I don't look at what you're giving. I just haven't done that. I've got others that do, but I want to be able to greet you on the way out those doors. I have no idea whether you give or don't give. I'm going to love you the same. Amen? I want to have that. Now, Jesus looked at what you're giving. Remember, he looked at that widow that came up and gave, and he was like, woohoo! You know, and the disciples were like, what? What do we miss? Like, oh, she gave. He's like, what's the big deal of that? He's like, she gave more than any of you. Why? Because she gave out of her need, not her abundance. Powerful. But something happens when you're just consistent with something. If you're consistent, listen, if you tell your wife once a year that you love her, how far are you going to get with that? No, it needs to happen on a regular basis. There are things that go so much further with consistency. And so we want to give systematically. Man, I'm telling you, we've just watched this. I thank God early on I got that, and I became a tither. And Joanne and I, we have never questioned. We've never been at a place to where there was ever going to be a place where we go, do we do this or do we tithe? Oh, no. Tithing is settled. We're going to tithe. And we've always seen everything else work itself out. We've just done that. Number two, seasonal or opportune giving. Sometimes there are needs that crop up. I love this. Proverbs chapter 11, 24 and 25. There is one who scatters and yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul, come on, the what? The generous soul will be made rich. And it's not just about money. Please shift from just material things. Listen, you can have all the money in the world, and if you don't have your health, if you don't have your family, if you don't have peace, you can be miserable. You can be in poverty. But a generous soul, if you're able to engage in this and just watch the blessings of God come to your life. Because look what he says. And he who waters, again, that's pouring out, will also be watered himself. Something happens when you purpose to do that. And what we have found, there are times, you remember just like the Good Samaritan? He's actually just a Samaritan, really. I mean, the highlight in the Bible says it calls him good, but he is just a Samaritan, it says. When he's on that road and he looked over there at that person that was in the ditch, that was beat up and left for dead, he pulled over. He said, hey, I got to help this person. It was an opportunity. And Joanne and I have just tried to be sensitive to sometimes just an opportunity that just shows up. And we'll just turn aside. We'll look at how can we help? How can we do? And sometimes it's not just us. Sometimes we got to connect this thing. That's why in Judaism, there's a mitzvah stikah. They have a little offering box that when they do their Shabbat on a weekly basis, they bring an offering. They build it up because at some point in time, as soon as they hear about a need that's there, they're going to give to that need. And they've already prepared a gift in advance, so that when a need arises, they were able to do that. And sometimes there are seasonal things. You know, we're about to come upon a giving time, right? And we'll have angel tree, you know, and so you'll be able to pull one of those off and buy a gift for one of the families that are in need for some kids and things. That, if you know that's coming, why not prepare for it? Why show up and go, oh, I wish I could do that, but I don't have enough. Start now. Put a few bucks back on a regular basis, just a little. All of a sudden, bam, you're there. When angel tree shows up and you do take that off and you buy those $25, you know, and I don't know, inflation, it may have to go to 50 this year. But there's a part of that. In the last one, let me land this plane on this. This is so good. Come on, y'all got to give me just a few minutes. Is being spirit-led in your giving. Man, I'm telling you, Joanne and I have enjoyed this in such a dramatic way, because it's special when you really are able to just hear the voice and the leading of God. You don't know anything, and you all of a sudden you engage in a form of giving, and all of a sudden that person has that need that they maybe haven't shared, maybe hadn't said, maybe you didn't know about it. And it's the Lord answering a prayer. And all of a sudden you get to be a part of that miracle. There's just something special in that. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll miss it. And I know I've missed it plenty of times. But the times that we have listened, it has been awesome. One of the most dramatic, powerful moments, because I want to share it to where I don't want you to think that I mean, this year, Joanne and I, we've given away 2 cars. We didn't get there overnight. This is just where we're at. But I want you to hear this story. Early on, Joanne and I, we were newlyweds, and we were part of the church. We were leading a small group and just serving God, and we'd have people over at the house and things. And again, both of us just working jobs, no, not business people at that time, and just had, you know, weekly income and things, and just learning to live, you know, on a budget and some of those kinds of things. But one of the things that we did, how many have ever bought some of those reject steaks that are off of those trucks? And we had bought some of those steaks, you know, and had them in the freezer. And well, we had this individual that was in the church, and he had a ministry at ASU doing college outreach and doing ministry. Great guy, and wonderful family, and they were doing that. Well, he was wanting to continue his education and felt God had called him to pastor, and so he had been accepted in a major university up on the north, in the northeast, and so he'd gone to the church, had disclosed everything, and they gave him permission to go around to people in the church to be able to rally support, to be able to get, okay, somebody's going to give $25 a month, this person's going to give $50 a month, and so he had been going around and actually had commitment cards and the whole bit. And the church had given permission to do that for him to be able to make that transition with his family, to go to university, get his doctorate, and to be able to launch into full-time ministry. And so Pat, he comes by the house. Joanne and I, we'd already heard, you know, what was going on. We'd already been praying about it. And we already had a figure in our hearts of we're going to start giving this much per month to help him in the family. And so he's there, he does his spiel and all, and we listen and everything, and we already know what we're gonna do. And he was really blessed with our commitment and what we had stretched out to do there. And then he's about to leave, he's already there at the front door and saying goodbyes, and all of a sudden Joanne, I could tell she was acting a little strange, like agitated, and all of a sudden she's like, wait, right here. And so she runs, she goes in the kitchen, and she comes back with a sack full of a bunch of the meat, the steaks. So she's giving her meat away. And she hands it to him, and he's so gracious and grateful. And so we're talking there somewhere. All of a sudden, she's like, oh, wait. So she runs back in the kitchen, and she reaches up in the cabinet, and she pulls down this unopened box of crackers. I'm talking just crackers. Saltines. Just crackers. She comes back, and she said, this is really what God wanted me to give you. And handed him the crackers, and his mouth has fallen open. He said his wife, Annie, the last thing she said, they just had a brand new baby, or a few months back, and said, Pat, come on, you wives, you husbands, you know what I'm talking about. The last thing going out the door, don't forget to stop by the store and get the baby some crackers. And here God used Joanne to hand him that box of crackers. That box of crackers carried him through a lot of difficult seasons, because he just started weeping. He's like, if God cares enough for the baby to have crackers, come on, he'll take care of my life. And God wants to, I believe, use us. Don't, if you have some little thought, don't turn that off. Don't go, oh, God. Joanne was like, God, that's a little cheap. Crackers? I got to give him some steaks. Right? But it was the crackers that was the miracle, not the steaks. It may seem insignificant, but what is that? To live generously. Our church, even through its history, the city, actually one time we made front page of the paper with some of our giving. Back then we were called Tree of Life Church, and the title of that was there on that article said the Giving Tree, because our church was known for its giving. I don't want to ever change that. For the things that we're able to do, not only in our community. You know, this church, through the years, we have blessed other churches in our city, on the mission field. We have done buildings. We have helped others in buildings. I'll never forget, you know, early on, coming back as senior pastor, we had our own needs. We were trying to raise money to build that other building and do some things. And another church had a desperate situation where they had a bad roof, and they did not have the resources to do it, and our church put a roof on that building. We've just lived that way, to be generous. And you're part of a church that has a core value of generosity. And I pray that you'll live your life that way. Blessed to be a blessing. Now, some of you are going, Pastor, I need a breakthrough. I've already preached this in Abilene. I've already preached this in Arlington. And I have prayed for breakthrough, for lack and poverty mentality to break free off of people's lives. I want you to stand up right now. Now, today, the biggest poverty, you may be poor in spirit. You don't know Jesus. If you're here today and you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, your spirit man has not been born again, that is the answer. The ultimate answer right there. To say, Jesus, be the Lord and Savior of my life. Some of you are here and there's some things that God wants to break off. Some of you may feel like that every time I start trying to get ahead, it's like something always comes. Listen, you need to recognize that the devil's afraid of you getting ahead. Because he knows. Amen? Because let me say this, money will magnify. Now, if you got ulterior motives, money will magnify that. You give a drug addict more money, guess what? You give a giver more money, guess what? Money will magnify. But the enemy, if he sees that and he knows that, he'll try and take it out. He'll try and stop it. Read the Bible. Through the Bible, he's done that. Even with great men and women of God to try and come on the scene, he's tried to take them out when he's known, he knew ahead of time that greatness was there. He tried to take them out. Some of you, I believe, need to get free and need to get some insight and realize that your warfare, it's not in natural things. It's a spirit. It's a spirit of poverty that is trying to hold you and bind you and lack. I'm going to pray for us. I want you to just open your heart and just receive from him whatever God's speaking, wherever you're at in this message. Maybe it's becoming a consistent tithing member of this church and just doing something consistently. It may take you some time to move to a to be able to put that in your budget and really do that. But by faith, just start the journey. Just look for those opportunities. Listen to the voice of God, his leading. Watch God be God in your life. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for your goodness. As we enter into this last song, God, I thank you for the spirit of worship and your presence. And God, let it be a holy moment here, God. You love a cheerful giver. Lord, love on us today. And Father, I declare breakthrough. I bind the spirit of lack. I rebuke the spirit of poverty. Even the mentality and the mindset that has been there, that if something bad's going to happen, it's going to happen to me. I break the power of that. You lying devil, you leave the children of God alone in this area. I declare that they are blessed to be a blessing, to live our lives as Christ, to live our lives outside of ourselves. And Lord, I just pray the ministry of that to just flow richly on every life. Lord, we offer ourselves to you and we thank you for your goodness. Let's worship God, and then somebody will come and close.